And sometimes people don't want to hear the Word of God. And I know a few years ago, the last time that I had a person that really came down upon me after I preached. I preached about hell and the whole history of hell and why it was important to know that. One woman asked me a Bible question and I answered her question. And that was one of the biggest downloads in the world too when I put it out on the website. But a man came up very pointedly. He said that wasn't necessary. Just like that. You don't need to preach the Bible. You don't need to preach about doctrines of the Bible. Just preach Jesus, and that's enough. And I thought a lot about that. I've had people send emails to me on the internet, especially on YouTube, and told me that I was wasting my time, that I had destroyed my ministry, and that my ministry was a flop because I am preaching the Bible, and I don't need to do that. That all people need to know is to know how to be saved, and that's it. Nothing else. That's all. Get people saved, and that is it. That's all you need to do. Well, I thought a lot about that. I had a person here a while back that called me or on the phone and told me that she wanted to talk to me. And that she wanted to be baptized, that she wanted to just give her life to God. And I went and talked to her, and I asked her why. And she said, I've been at your house a lot, and I looked at a lot of things. And, you know, I realized that I believe that there is a God. I now believe there is a God. She was atheist. She was raised in Russia, and all those communist countries where communism is a religion, and it has no room for anything else. And I'm afraid America is going that way. The problem in America is we're not facing socialism, we're facing communism. Communism, you have one idea and one party, and that's all. You don't have any, no opposing party, no opposing ideas. That's it. That's all you've got. Now, how many of you have had a grandchild or a child or a brother or sister become, go to a Christian church, so-called, and become a Mormon, a Catholic, or a Jehovah's Witness, or some Buddhist or something? How many of you have that? All of you? I think so. Now, if they just went to church and just fellowship, and I have people calling me all over the country, from one end, from the East Coast to the West Coast and across the world, thanking me for teaching the Bible and hoping that so much of the world is an atheistic world or agnostic world. And then you have somebody come knocking on your door, two guys or two girls or whatever, and they're going to open the scriptures to you as a Mormon or as a Jehovah's Witness or as a Buddhist, a Catholic. I know one young lady that went to a Baptist church for a while and was even baptized and went into Catholicism. You know why? Because she didn't know the Bible. If she knew the Bible and church history, she would have never become a Catholic. Would you become a Catholic, Marilyn? You were a Methodist. Sharon was a Catholic. But the Bible makes you what you are. And the Bible will protect you from what we might call error. Now, a lot of people don't know anything about the Bible and they go to church. At Valley Baptist Church for 20 years, my class was known as the Brady Bunch, at the Brainy Bunch. People would come in there and a lot of people would stay. I mean, they would just fall in love with it. I mean, they're learning, they're just, once they get that, I know Bill Hawkins, I talked to him a while back and he came to my house down there in Old River when I was down there the last time. He said, Jim, he said, come back to Valley. We can't find anybody that teaches the Bible. Nobody. 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 Get a 15, 20-minute message in the morning and some topical message, and we don't know about the Bible. We need you. I said, you got me. I said, just go to discovertheworldwithdrjim.com. You've got me. You got 4,800 audios and 3,400 videos. I said, try to wear all of them for a while. Try to study every one of them and see how long it takes you. I'm the pastor of Discover the Word Missionary Baptist Church right here. And you people out there, many of you really are part of us. But the whole purpose, what I'm doing here, is preaching the Word of God. As far as I know, I'm the only ordained pastor with a real organized church in this whole valley. There are a lot of missions around, but this is a church, and I'm ordained. And I've been to the seminary, and I have degrees. I have earned 5 degrees, associate, bachelor, master's, Ph.D., and DBL, theological doctorate, and doctor of Bible languages. I've earned all of those. If you don't believe me, just come and see what I've written. Just look and see what I've written and what I've taught in my life. When I started studying the languages, and there aren't really many Doctor of Bible Languages degrees anymore, period. They don't want it. 1 or 2 years of Greek, 1 or 2 years of Hebrew, maybe. A little introduction to it. The Doctor of Bible Languages required 5 to 6 years of Greek and 5 to 6 years of Hebrew. And then you had to major, you had to translate one of the major books in the Old Testament and one of the major books in the New Testament. Well, I translated every book in the New Testament and quite a few of them in the Old Testament. And you can, there's 144 classes on the book of Genesis out there. And I wrote in linear on Genesis and Exodus and quite a few other books. That is beyond a doctorate. That's 10, 15 of them stacked on top of each other. But even the languages, that, which are very important in the Bible, but the Bible itself is extremely important. Do you want your grandchildren, do you want your children to leave your home and then go off into some cult because they don't have a foundation? One thing I want to give you is a foundation of the Bible. I've had many pastors and teachers and just students all over the world call me or email me, and then I call them on the phone and talk to them, and they say, thank you. My family went off to pieces. We went to church, and they just went every which direction because we didn't have a foundation. You give people a foundation. The Bible is your instruction manual. Now, if you're a guy out there, I know guys don't like to read instructions, do they? You'll go get something, and you'll only go buy something because so you don't want to have to take time enough to build it from scratch. And they'll buy a bed or whatever it is, and they'll get the instructions with it, and they'll throw the instructions there, and they'll try to figure out how to put it together. That's what's wrong with religion in the world today. People want to know about God, but they want to figure it out themselves. We have an instruction manual. It's the Bible. It's it. That's God's instruction manual. We need to read it. We don't mean to be like a macho guy and just throw the instruction manual away. And so many people today in the charismatic movement, and there's another problem. Catholicism, charismatic movement, all these have extra biblical revelations. The Catholic Church is in constant flux of revelation from their apostle, their pope. You know, when the Bible was completed, it was completed. That's it. You're not going to get any more revelation. God tells us to read His Word. We pray for guidance. We do. But when we know in the Bible what God wants us to do, it's pretty easy to figure out what God wants us to do. We just follow the Word of God. In our lives daily, I've always said, do what God wants. Serve the Lord where you are today the best you can, and He will get you where you ought to be tomorrow. Always listen to the leadership. But the real leadership, the real instruction manual, is the Word of God. Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. If you don't know what the Bible says, people don't, they come in, they don't know anything about hell, they don't know anything about heaven, they don't know anything about the church, they don't know anything about baptism. There's only one kind of baptism, that's immersion. Let me show you something. Here's a little book that's written in 1766. It is a Latin or a Greek to Latin lexicon. And here on page 74 in it, it says, baptizo. Baptizo, mergio, lava. And then it goes down and conjugates it down through there. But the Greek word is baptizo. Let me see if you can see that there. The Greek word is baptizo. The Latin equivalent is mergio. We get our word immersion from that Latin word. Our word immersion comes from the Latin mergio. And that means to dip, to immerse. Immersion is the only form of baptism. And it ought to be administered by a New Testament church. A pastor is a tool for that church to administer baptism. Pastors and deacons. Pastors and deacons are the elders of a church, and they are the ones that administer baptism. Now, we need to know what baptism is. We need to know who God is. God is not the big guy standing up there that created things and just put it down there and just let it flop. That's the deist idea that Thomas Jefferson had. We have deists, we have Unitarians, we have all of these people out there, and they're all groups and gatherings. You know, there's the Moose Hall and the Elks and everything else too, and a Masonic lodge. But it's not church. All play with the idea of God, but we need to know who God is. And how we know who God is by through His Bible, His instruction manual. Now, there are 66 books in the Bible, pretty much, that we have. 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. All the Bible is inspired, according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, for the Word of God came not by men of old, from their own ideas. But they were guided by the Holy Spirit of God, and they wrote down what God dictated to their hearts. The Old Testament prophets, a lot of them didn't even know what they were writing down. They never knew what they wrote down. But they wrote it down by the inspiration of God. The Bible is not a Ouija board. The Bible is not a Ouija board. The Bible isn't some computer that you can just go like this and you got the answer to everything. You read this here, it says, the word of the Lord came again to me, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, wail, alas, for the day. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, and cloudy day. It shall be the time of doom for the nations. Oh man, God's going to destroy all the world. This is my message. This is what it is. This is what's going to happen. Well, that's Ezekiel 30 and verse 1 and 2. It has nothing to do with today. This is what happened back then. Ezekiel was supposed to prophesy to them. Ezekiel the 28th chapter, Isaiah the 14th chapter. These things that were written. It says here in the 29th chapter of Ezekiel, in the tenth year of the captivity of the king of Jehoiakim, by the king of Babylon in the 10th month on the 12th day of the month. And the word of the Lord came to me, say, son of man, set your face toward Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. And we're not supposed to go and beat up Egypt today. That's what was happened back then. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? And what's the subject? That's very important. The Bible said, Judas went out and hanged himself. In another place it says, go thou and do likewise. Did God tell you to go hang yourself? No. But it's the way some people interpret the Bible, it would have said that. there's the Old Testament and the New Testament, isn't there? In the Old Testament, there's prophets. Okay? And in the New Testament, we have an instruction for the churches. We have the first four books in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tells us about the birth, the life, the miraculous ministry, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. If Jesus divided the Old Testament into two portions, the law and the prophets and the Psalms. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. The law, of course, is what we call the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then we have 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, Judges. We have all these books down there that tell us about the early history of Israel. And why does God have the Old Testament? The New Testament tells us the things that happened to Israel are parables for you to learn by. Israel was a rebellious child, wasn't she? She was an adulterous wife of God. And God gives us all of these examples in there, and even examples of men's lives like Jacob and Esau and Noah, Abraham, all of these, Ahab, Jezebel. We have all of these examples that people went this way and that way in the Old Testament. It says in the time of Kings, every man did what was right, everything did that which was right in his own eyes. We need to look to the Word of God. The Word of God is our standard. The book of Psalms is not law, by the way. The book of Psalms says all kinds of things. The book of Psalms is basically a hymnal. And one of the most beautiful of the Psalms is the 23rd Psalm, one of the most beautiful songs that's ever been written. For the Lord is my shepherd. Remember David writing that? David had the idea is that God was his shepherd, that Jehovah was his shepherd, Jehovah Roeh, the one who watches over me, because he was a shepherd. He put his life down in front of his lambs with the wolves and the lions and the bear or whatever came after them. He put himself in harm's way. God does the same for us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, etc. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the Old Testament, it's history, it's prophecy, and it's types also. The New Testament is history in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. It's doctrine. All of the epistles, all of the books of the Bible in the New Testament have doctrine in it, and so do the Old Testament has doctrine too, doesn't it? We know who God is, don't we? We know who Jesus Christ is. We know who the Holy Spirit is. And then, we have miracles in the New Testament. Why were the miracles, why did God give miracles to Jesus to do?
To prove that
he was Messiah. Why did God give Paul and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them, the gifts of miracles? So they would prove that the Word of God that they were receiving was from God. How long will these miracles continue? According to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, until that which is perfect came, and that which is perfect is the Bible. Now, the Bible also says that in the last days there are going to be very many miracles being performed in His name, and He says that they're not mine. Exodus 7 and 8, Revelation 13, 13 and 14, Revelation 16, 14. The Bible says in the last days that there will be many, many attractive preachers preaching things that make people feel good. We got Joel Osteen out there, don't we? And a whole lot more. He's just one of them that smiles all the time and and tells you how much wonderful, and yet Jesus is just a way to God. Jesus is the way to God and the only way to God. I did a series of messages here a while back on the Pentecostal movement. The devil's a miracle mover, worker. Satan, there is so much confusion out there in the world that if you don't take your Bible and don't know what it says, you're liable to end up in the middle of any of it. The Bible is extremely important. How does somebody that doesn't know the Bible, how do you deal with the Catholics? How do you deal with the Jehovah's Witnesses that say that they have the Bible all the time, you know? How do you deal with it? Yeah, they grab their Bible and come over here, we believe the Bible. And Mormons will come, oh, we like the King James Version. And we just have another revelation. No, the Bible said there was a revelation. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he had found his church and the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against her. Is that true? If Jesus said, you're Peter, a little stone, but upon this gigantic rock, me, I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. And then Jesus again in Matthew 28 chapter says, after you've gone been scattered out in the world, make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them all things that I've given unto you, and to guard them with their lives. And lo, I'll be with you unto the end of the world. And Joseph Smith said that the church went away. He's lying. Herbert Armstrong said the church hadn't been preached, and the truth, the gospel hadn't been preached for 1,800 years until he preached it. And he wasn't preaching it either. But all these things are out there for your children to get involved in, and you to get involved in, and your husband and wives to get involved in, if you don't know the Word of God. The rules of interpretation of Scripture are who is speaking, to whom is he speaking, about what is speaking the subject, when was he speaking, and what was the occasion of the writing. You're going to get rid of a lot of Bible verses. A lot of people, even those that believe, will just they'll just be having trouble. I want to figure out what I got to do here. Yep, there it is. It's not a Ouija board. It's not a good luck charm. People carry the Bible with them wherever they go, but they never open it. I've gone into Catholics' house and Jehovah's Witnesses' house and Mormons' house, and they've got Bibles all over the place. But they don't know what to say, or they wouldn't be in that mess. The devil makes churches very attractive without the Word of God. The devil can make churches attractive with the Word of God, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, like Orthodox Jews. They study the Bible, but they study it in the wrong way. When they come to Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22, it's some mystical thing. But Jesus did come and did die for your sins. Yes, he did. He came according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Let's go there. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And they have a problem with the resurrection. They have a problem with what the real gospel is. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, unless you didn't understand what I said. And then Paul tells him again, he said, for I deliver unto you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. What's the rest of the story? According to the Scriptures, he died according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, that he was raised the third day, what? According to the Scriptures, the Bible. And then he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After he appeared to more than 500 brethren, he said, last of all, he appeared unto me also. Galatians 4:4 says, When the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem us that were under the law. Jews and Gentiles. The feasts of the Old Testament, every one of those feasts stood something about Christ. The journey of the Israelites, the Passover, the Red Sea crossing, the wilderness, the brazen altar of the tabernacle, the laver, the showbread, the candlesticks, the incense, the tabernacle itself, and the Holy of Holies. The offerings, the whole burnt offering, the meat offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the red heifer offering, Yom Kippur offering, the Day of Atonement. All of these pointed to Jesus Christ, to 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter and Galatians 4 and 4. Now, the Bible is extremely important for you to study. You got your feet wet right there, that's all. You got your feet wet. Now study the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. And it's out there. It's out there on our website, discovertheword.com or discovertheword.com. It's out there. Every book in the Bible is out there. You can study. Well, you can study it from Greek or from Hebrew. Father, I send this message out. I pray that these people will understand that Your Word is necessary. That Your real and Your real instruction manual is at their fingertips if they just do something with it. If they just get off of their laziness and start studying Your Word, they'll have the answers they need. And Father, thank You for it. Thank You for this day. Please forgive me where I failed You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.